We are holding on to Hey on the Bay's four lines from the bottom. So we went through yesterday discussing the whole matter of Kav Chomer and Gaiai and showing that every Tana does agree with the basic concept of Gaiai. We actually learned from a pasuk. There's a disagreement between the Taufen and the Chachamim, and therefore we found at least one other Braisa that seems to indicate that they limit when you do apply Gaiai or not. So now that we established, though, that you can use a Kav Chomer to derive the halachas of one of the other nizikin from another. The Taufen wanted to use that to derive Keren from another case of Keren, used by way of Shein V'Regel, according to the two different ways that he did it in the Mishnah. So the Chachamim disagreed with him only because of Daya, but they do agree with the basic concept that where Kav Chomers can be made, they can be made. So therefore, that brings us to the question. So now, the Gemara is not going to. I told you yesterday that what it was is the Gemara is going to deal with the various Ovis Nezikin, why we can't learn the details one from the other. That actually, the Gemara is not going to go through all of them because we know from the first paragraph already each of them has unique features of its own. We learned with Loi Hare, this, Hare, that, etc. So you can't. If you have, for example, something where the Torah tells us, let's say, that you're potter for Kalim by a burr, you can't go and derive from that to other things, because burr has, other things have their own unique features. But we're within the ones of Shur, within Shane, Regal, and Karen, the Gemara is going to try to use a couple of various Kavachomers to derive one from another.
Within Shur.
So, number one, okay, his Shane Viregal Chai Bushra Sarabim Kavachomer. We've been learning all this time that you potter for Shane Viregal Bushra Sarabim, because why don't we say that we can learn a Kavachomer, that it should be Chai? Karen, where the animal gores, which whether it takes place, regardless of Rishos Rabim or Rishos Nizek, you pay only Chati Nezek. And Rishos Rabim Chayevet, and you chayev for it just as much in Rishos Rabim, and according to the Tazan even more, because according to Rishos Nizek, you chayev Nezek Shalom. But whatever, for the moment, at least according to the Chachamim, yeah. Shein v'regel, Rishos Nizek, Mishalom Nezek Shalom. So Shein v'regel, if in the property of the Nizek you pay Nezek Shalom, any din Rishos Rabim chayev, how much more so that you should be chayev for it in Rishos Rabim? So okay, maybe not Nezek Shalom, maybe not Nezek Shalom because of Daivay, but Chati Nezek at least.
Why, if it's in Rishos Nizek, you pay Chati Nezek?
No, by Shein v'regel, Rishos Nizek, you pay Nezek Shalom.
That's
the Gemara is going to take up soon. How do we know it's not Chati Nezek? But for the moment, let's first deal with how the Chal do we know that it's Potter in Rishos Rabim? Why don't we learn by a Kav Chomer that it should be Chayv in Rishos Rabim? Karen only pays half in Chatzar HaNizek, and it pays the same half in Rishos Rabim. If Shein v'regel pays
Karen
is half here and half there.
Right.
So Shein v'regel is a whole here and none there. Why? Like Kav HaChomer, you should pay something in Rishos Rabim. But Pashtus, the question is according to the Chachamim, but really, I mean, Mepharshim explained the question could be a point of Taufen also. Okay, so Taufen argued on the basis of the fact that Shein v'regel are potter v'rishos rabim, and yet they're chayev v'rishos hanizik, nezik sholim, he wanted to use that as a basis for an argument that Keren should be chayev v'rishos hanizik, should be chayev nezik sholim. But how does he know, b'chal, that Shein v'regel are potter v'rishos rabim? Maybe indeed it should be chayev something, and then his Kav HaChomer pulls apart.
Yeah, of course.
The answer is Omakra, you can't say that because the Pasuk says, Vir Bisday Achat. The Pasuk clearly says that the animal damages in somebody else's field, implying the Lord Rishos Rabin, not Rishos Rabin. So therefore, that's
not like one to another.
No, because it says Bisday Achat, therefore that tells us to forget that Kav HaChomer. However, the Gemara comes right back and we'd be called a Kamrinan. Okay, so what do you think? What do you think? I'm trying to argue that for Shane Verdegger, you should be high of the whole thing, Rishos Rabin. I'm only arguing that maybe you should be chayav chati nezek. So fine, you could argue b'sdei acher teaches you that you have to pay the whole thing if it's b'sdei acher. But if it's b'rishos harabim, maybe only b'rishos nezek. But if it's b'rishos harabim, maybe only chati nezek. Yeah. So you would say, in other words, that's what you say. Uvir b'sdei acher, then you pay full nezek. But if it wasn't b'sdei acher, you still do pay something, but it's only chati. Yeah. The answer. But how do we know? Because the fact is, in Rishos Rabim, you don't pay anything. Why? The answer is because Omakra, because the Pasuk says, V'chotsu es katsbo, the Pasuk says, in a different connection, when it talks about the case of a shur that gores, of Kevin, The expression is, if the animal of the town bequeathed to its capital, they should divide its money, which later on, when we learn in a week and a half or so, when we learn about the details of how you figure out the payment for a town versus a muad, we're going to talk about the details of what bequeathed to its capital means, but basically it means that you pay chatzi nefesh. And the expression is bechatzu es kaspoi, you should divide its money, implying that the mute, kaspe shel zeh v'lo kaspe shel acher. This concept of paying only half applies only to the kesef of this, of keren, not to anything else.
Just for sure.
Kaspe means, but it didn't have to say kaspoi, it could have said bechatzu es kesef. So by saying kaspoi implies we're limiting it only to keren. Okay, Tosfos points out on this and also on the next part of the argument that we do have another case of chatzi nezek. We learned chatzi nezek serves, as we learned earlier in the parak.
Why is it a bit different?
The reason is that the Tosfos says the difference is, as we learned before, that when it comes to service, you don't pay me gufoi, you pay me minhaliyah. When it says v'chatzu es kasloi, after all, the word kasloi in a way has a double meaning. It means only in this case, not in the others, but it also means me gufoi, because it's kasloi, it's own money. The point is not av versus tolda. The point is that keren, we're saying because it says v'chatzu es kasloi, that is where we learn that you pay only migufoi, because you're only paying half of its own value. You're only paying half out of its own value.
Right.
So we're using the word kasloi in a double sense. Then, number one, we're talking about a case where you're only paying out of the animal's own body, as opposed to mimesav, and number two, that we're saying it only applies to keren, nothing else. Well, sure, it's very well, it's chatzi nezek, but it's not migufoi. You don't sell the animal and use half the money to pay it. You pay minhaliyah. You go to your bank account and take out half of it. So it's a different thing. You're not mimesav just from there. Next one. The loy
pay. It's more stringent than.
Sure, it's more stringent because that's minhaliyah. Sure. Yeah, because migufoi means you can't. It's the value of the animal. Sure.
And it's an indirect damage, so why is it more stringent?
We said there's a halacha mishmishina, the concept of chatzi nezek, of chatzi nezek service. We discussed back and forth. We discussed the question whether you have to pay migufoi or minhaliyah. The maskana was minhaliyah. Next. A logical reason for it is just because tzurus is the more common thing. Keren is uncommon. That's the whole point of keren, is something unusual for the animal to do. But tzurus, to shoot out from under the animal's feet and damage, is a fairly common occurrence.
So it's pretty
cool. Next. Now let's turn the argument around. Why don't we say then, fine, Shein Verego, you're high of, let's say, you're high of nothing for Rishos HaRabim, fine, we established because of Katzboi. Who says you're high for the whole thing in Rishos HaNizek? Maybe you're only high of Chatzi Nezek. Again, the Kavachomer, again, we can use the Kavachomer from Keren. Uma Keren Shem Rishos HaRabim Chayeves Rishos HaNizek Enim Shalom HaSala Chatzi Nezek. Keren is chayev in Rishos HaRabim, and yes, even if it's in Rishos HaNizek, you only go as far as Chatzi Nezek. Again, not like a Tarfin, but like a Chachamim. Shein Verego Shem Rishos HaRabim Turo. Well, Shein Verego are completely false in Rishos HaRabim. Ein Adin Shem Rishos HaNizek Mishalom Chatzi Nezek. So how much more so, if you're in Rishos HaNizek, you should only be Chatzi Nezek. It should be no stronger than Keren. And again, the question can also be according to the Taufin, because the Taufin could argue the same way, and then his Kavachomer that he wanted to make Keren pay Nezek Shalom versus Nezek would fall apart. So why don't we say that? The answer is no. Omakra, again, you have a pasuk to tell us otherwise. Yishalim, because the pasuk says when it comes to Shein Verego, it says major today or major time of Yishalim. Yishalim implies Tashlum and Malia. It means a complete payment. It doesn't mean going by hand. Yishalim implies that you're paying the whole thing. You're paying the entire damage. There's no half.
How do we know it's a question, Verego?
Because that's what the pasuk is talking about. Ki yaveh ish sadeh kerem. If somebody causes damage to a field or a vineyard, the shilach is here. He lets his animals loose, which we said in the first parak, beginning of the Masechta, that the shilach means letting the animals roam free. Uvir v'sdeh acher, and they destroy in another field, which we said they refers to shein. Akasha yivar agol atrumeh, as we brought the pasuk, like two destroyed. Meitav sadeh, meitav tam yashalom. So therefore, so again, that pasuk comes to tell us, don't try to use that kavachomer, because I'm telling you explicitly otherwise. Because of the puzzle. Next. Third possibility, the loy tehe keren rishos adam, chayef ha-kavachayimer. Fine, let's use another form of this kavachayimer to say that you should be potter for keren rishos adam. Which, as we just established, if they take place, you're going to the Kavachayim. We're going to argue, yeah. The third form of the Kavachayim. Yeah. If it took place, and as we learned from the first pasuk, from which day after. So Karen, you only pay chatzi nizik. Even if birshus anizik. So it's less stringent than shein v'regel in that sense. And you didn't shib birshus rabim tura. How much more so? It should be completely possible in birshus rabim. And yet we're saying that not. It's chatzi nizik birshus rabim. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, amakro yechzun. Yes, but Rabbi Yechanan says, again, you have a pasuk to tell us otherwise. The pasuk says, in the case of chatzi nizik, in the case of Karen, the expression is that it says they sell the live ox and they divide the money, the chatzur of kasboi, the gamas amet yechzun, and also the dead ox they divide. Which again, when we learn later on, when we talk about the details of how the valuation is figured out, again, like we said in the first paragraph, I mean, you figure in pras nevela, you figure in the actual value, the value of the carcass, and factor that in when you calculate the payment.
Yechzun
means they divide. Now that word yechzun is extra. It could have said, and also the dead one. What's the yechzun? What is the word yechzun adding? It comes to teach us, ein chatzi nezek cholok lo v'rishos adam v'lo v'rishos yochid. It comes to teach us, indeed, there's no difference in chatzi nezek what v'rishos it's in. There's always going to be a yechzun.
Yechzun
means to divide. So that's the point. The word yechzun being extra comes to teach us that yechzun is universal. Always, when the animal was a tam, regardless what rishus it was in, I'll say, okay, if it was in rishus mazik, not because what's your show doing in my rishus, fine. But other than that, regardless of rishus a nizik or rishus a rabim, it's always going to be chatzi nezik. Now let's try another one.
So that destroys the
kavachayim. Now let's try another one. We know that when a shur killed a person. So if it happened the first couple of times, we've discussed briefly before, our Gemara again has been discussed further, the question of whether you pay chatzi koifer, whether you pay half of a koifer, be that as it may, the Torah clearly says that when the animal is a muad, that when it's gored and killed something three times, then the owner is responsible to pay a koifer, to pay a monetary atonement.
When it killed different people three times,
then the owner, besides that the shirt is already chayv mitzvah from the first time already, but we'll talk about later on, and in the fourth parak, we'll talk about how it's possible if it's supposed to be killed after the first time, how does it come to get three times, be that as it may, whatever, there are such scenarios. So if it becomes a mu'ud, not only the shirt has to be killed, as it should have been to begin with, but also the gamba olav yumas in kofa yushas olav, that the owner really ought to be chayv mitzvah, but instead the Torah allows him to pay a kofa, the Torah tells him to pay a kofa instead. We'll talk about later on also, and then in the mem, we'll talk about what the koifer is. Is it the value of the mazik? Is it meant as like a kapara for his own neshama that he caused somebody's death? Is it the value of the nizik? It's sort of meant as like a reparations for his death. Whatever, we'll get to that later. The point is, there is such a thing as koifer. The question is...
Koifer is only when he kills three times?
Yes. So we'll talk about later. Again, we're going to talk about soon the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that says that even when the animal is tam, you pay half koifer. Just like you pay chatzi nezik by an animal, you pay chatzi koifer by a person. Anyway, here we're going to deal with something else. We know this concept of koifer only applies when a shur kills somebody. Shur or any other animal kills somebody. It does not apply when one person kills another. Now the question is, why not? Why shouldn't we say that if one person kills another, he should be chayev in koifer by a kavachomer? Now, before we get to the actual kavachomer, we have to figure out what's the scenario over here that this person killed the other one. Because on the face of it, the Torah clearly says at the end of Parshas Maaseh, after it has the Torah gives a whole long discussion about the Orei Miklat and how a Ritzeach Shgaga is supposed to go to the Orei Miklat and a Ritzeach Mezid is supposed to be executed. The Torah specifically says over there, don't take a koifer to allow a Ritzeach to get away scot-free, and don't take a koifer from somebody who's supposed to go to the Orei Miklat to allow him to go scot-free. They have to go to the Orei Miklat to be executed as the case may be. So what is our Gemara asking over here that a person should be chayev in koifer? So Rashi Rashi says, we're talking about a case over here. Suppose that this person did it the mated. So you would think then he ought to be liable for the death penalty. However, say there were no edim, or they didn't give him asura, or what have you. Then maybe you could argue, since he's not getting the kapara of misa, he's not going to be executed by Beis Din because there wasn't valid edim or hasra or what have you. Maybe instead, by logic, by a kavachomer, I'm sure he should have to be a kofer. Tosfos talks about, Tosfos argues on that. Tosfos points out on the basis of other gemaras, on the basis of Tanu Devei Chizkiya that we learned before in Ksubas and we're going to learn later on in Or Masechta. Tosfos says that, no, maybe what we're talking about is Adrabba, let's say he is Chayav Mitza. Who says maybe he should be Chayav Mitza as well? He should pay a kofer. Just like by a shur. A shur you suckle, and the owner pays a kofer. Maybe by the same logic, a person who killed the mazid, ate a masra, the whole nine yards, maybe he should also have to pay a kofer on top of that.
The shur is up to three times, though.
The shur is killed even after one time. But again, after three times, the owner also becomes Chayav and a kofer. But we're arguing based on a kavah chomer from that. Shouldn't a person be chayav and kofer as well? Again, if it was b'mezid, but there's no edim b'hasra, according to Rashi, or even with edim b'hasra, according to Tosfos, kavah chomer. Uma shor she'ein chayav ba'avad var, mabech b'shor injures a person, the owner is not chayav in the other four payments, tzah, ripui, shevet, and boshet. You're only chayav for nezek, in a case where shor damages a person.
Not for the others.
There is a cost. We'll learn later on. We'll learn today and tomorrow about the limudim for it. Basically, it boils down to because the pasuk says v'ishki yitin mum ba'amisa. If a person caused the mum in somebody else, then he has to pay. Then he has to pay the full thing, or all of them, nezek, tzar, ripui, etc., whichever ones are relevant. Not if a sure damages a person. So for that reason, if a shur injures a person, you're only chayav for nezek. So a shur is only chayav for nezek, chayav for kofer, and yet if a shur kills a person, then you become chayav to pay kofer. Adam shechayav ba'avodvar. So a person, if he injures somebody else, is chayav not only in nezek, but in all the other four things. Ein adin shechayav kofer. How much more so that if he killed him, he should also be chayav in kofer. But lechora, why not? The answer is, no, because you have a pasuk. Again, you have a pasuk that's memayat by saying, the pasuk says that he has to pay, the owner of the shur has to pay according to what is imposed on him by the dayanim, meaning the dayanim figure out what the amount of the kofir is and make him pay it. The word olav is a mute. Olav v'loyal adam. Only on him, on a shur that kills a person, are you paying a kofir. You don't pay kofir for the nezakim.
You know that doesn't mean both.
Because that olav means on him.
So it could be him.
Him meaning the owner of the shirt. So not a case where a person killed another one. And actually, I mean, it means, you know, I mean, from this olav, actually, we don't just learn from that, actually. We learn, actually, not just that it excludes an adam, it excludes all the other cases of nezakim also. If a person were to set a fire and it goes and ends up ruining his neighbor to death, also there's no kosher. It's either, again, because it has to be olav, it has to only by the owner of a shur, does the Torah say such a thing.
Well, why just by the owner of a shur? I mean,
there's a kosher. I don't know what the logic line is. I don't know. Okay. Next, let's try the other way around. Behe shur, chai, ba, ba, ba. Yeah. Okay, so let's go the other way around. Then let's argue the other way around. Say that if a shur injures a person, you're chayav in not only in nezek but also in tsar and ripri and
the shur.
The baal of the shur, yeah. Hang on 1 second. I'm sorry. Continue.
the insurer.
So, yeah. Okay, so why should an insurer be chayiv in abodva, mekavah chomer? Ma adam shein chayiv a kofer. A person is not chayiv a kofer for killing, as we just established, because of olav. It's chayiv abodva, yet he's chayiv in all the other four things, the tzar and ripoy and so forth. Shur she chayiv a kofer, and again shein chayiv abodva. So shur is chayiv to pay kofer, how much more so it should be chayiv in all the other four things as well? No. Again, you have a pasuk that says otherwise. The pasuk says that if a person injures another one, then kasha also can you also lo, then what was done to the other person so should be done to him, which we'll learn later on that a parrot means he has to pay. No, not kofer, but it means nezek, tzar, ripui, etc. All the various five things. Yeah. But not shvelo shur bami, so not if a shur injures it, not if a person shur injures his fellow man. Okay, so now that we established then that kofer only applies to a shur and not to a person, so now the Gemara is going to try to figure out whether maybe kofer can also be applied to other cases of shur. Does it only apply to Karen, or does it apply to any of the other nizakim of shur as well? Also, in the course of the discussion, we're going to be bringing back in a Tarkan's opinion from our Mishnah. That's another connection. So, Iboyelu. Regel shadur sa'agabitinik b'chotzer. What happens if an animal is walking around in the chotzer and steps on a baby and kills it? B'chatzara nizek. Mahu shetashalim kofer. In that case, would we say the owner of the animal has to pay kofer? Now remember, the difference is keren is the animal deliberately set out to injure. That's one of the definitions of keren. Regel is not. It's just walking around normally and it happened to step on the kid.
If you walk deliberately on it,
then that would be keren, yeah. So do we say, well, after all, it is similar to Karen. Karen given to Ovid Treir plus a Zimni Urchehu. After all, Karen, once it does it two or three times, then it becomes the normal thing for this animal to do. Umashalam Kofer, and therefore that's where the Torah says you have to start paying Kofer. Hochinami Loshna. In that case, it should be the same thing over here. Namely, Regel is Mu'ah to begin with. Regel, there's no Tam versus Mu'ah distinction. So maybe with Regel, then you should be chayav kofer in the same way as if it were a mor. There is, by the way, there was a machlokes rishonim between the Rambam and the Baivet, among others, whether the Gemara is talking about, fine, maybe even with Regel, you do need two or three times. Fine, the animal may be a mor to do Regel to begin with, but maybe, since the Torah is only mentioning kofer after two or three times, maybe the same thing applies to Regel, or maybe not. Maybe immediately, the first time already, you're chayav kofer because Regel is mor to begin with.
Said what, the
Rambam, I think, says the first time, and the Rambam argues the third time. Anyway, or you could argue a difference. Keren, after all, the animal means to cause an injury or to kill. Shane Regel is Regel is not. Yeah. Incidentally, I mean, the same question that we're having over here as far as Regel could apply to Shane as well. I mean, it would be less common because, you know, why would an animal be biting a kid without kavana? But I don't know, let's say, for example, I don't know, the kid was hiding in a pile of leaves, let's say, and the animal started munching on them, you know, whatever. You could imagine an appropriate scenario. No, yeah. If we're teasing him, then, yeah. Okay.
Brothers to each other.
Yeah, come on. Okay. Tashma, come, let's try to prove it from a braisa. Hichnis shur l'chatzar balabayis shaloi b'rishus. If a person brings in his shur into the chotzer of in somebody else's chotzer, shaloi b'rishus, without permission, the nogchil balabayis umes, and the animal gores the balabayis and he dies. So this is very much b'rishus hanizik, and more so because he didn't even have permission to bring your ox in there. Hashur b'skila, then the shur gets, and the owner dies, yeah. Hashur b'skila, the shur gets skila, as is usual for a case of Karen. Obaila ben tam, yeah. Obaila ben tam ben mur, nashalim kofer shalom, dir Rav Tarfon. And Rav Tarfon says that the owner is going to have to pay kofer whether the animal was a tam or a mur. Dir Rav Tarfon. So now, kofer shalom the tam that Rav Tarfon menole. Now, after all, we have to consider, where would Rav Tarfon b'chlal get? Okay, so we said that in the case of an animal that gores another one, we said that Rav Tarfon says you pay nezek shalom, b'chlal nezek, he learned that from the Tav HaChomer in the Mishnah. Where would he get, and how? Because we said that the Shein V'Regel was Potter B'Rishus HaRabim, the Potter B'Rishus HaRabim, but Chayiv B'Rishus HaNezek Nezek Sholem, the Karen Hati Nezek B'Rishus HaRabim, shouldn't, how much more so it should be Nezek Sholem B'Rishus HaYachid, again, the two variations of it. Shein V'Regel was Potter B'Rishus HaRabim. So now, in order for that to work over here, in order for him to be able to use similar logic to say that kofer, that you pay kofer in, that you pay kofer shalom, it would have to be minole. Where would he get it from? Lav b'shem b'savala k'rav yesag levi l'chura. That would have to be because he holds like Rav Yosi HaGlili, d'amar tam b'shalom chatzik kofer b'rishos harabim. Rav Yosi HaGlili holds that tam pays chatzik kofer, if it was in rishos harabim, even if it was a tam. And therefore, Rav Taufen can use that as a basis for a kavachomer to learn from Regel. The same way, we need Rav Yosi HaGlili, because otherwise, according to if you don't hold up Rav Yosi HaGlili, if there's no kofer by a tam at all, if there's no kofer at all by a tam, then there's no reason to apply kofer versus a nizik, any amount of kofer, let alone kofer shalom. You have to start with a chatzi, right? He would use a similar kavachomer to the one in our Mishnah. Shein v'regel apotu v'rishos harabim v'rishos hanizik. They're paying kofer shalim. Well, that's what we're trying to prove over here. We're trying to see whether there is such a thing as kofer by regel. The only way for this to work would be if the tarifan takes as a given that there is kofer for regel, and of course regel being more, there's no chatzi kofer or kofer shalim. It would always be kofer shalim. So therefore, again, shame that I go, if it did it, if it stepped on the kid, Rishos Rabim, there would be nothing, because it's regular Rishos Rabim, and yet if it's in Rishos Nizit, it would be Kofer Shalim. So Karen is Chatzi Kofer, according to Rabbi Yisrael Lili, then in Rishos Nizit, it would be Kofer Shalim. In order for that to work, you need to assume that there's Kofer when it comes to regular. Chatzi Kofer for Karen. For regular, it would be kofer shalom, because again, by regular, there's never any tam versus more distinction. It's always more, yeah. So my alma ikka kofer but regular. So wouldn't that prove then that there is such a thing as kofer when it comes to regular? Okay, so I mean, no, fine. You know, the halacha is not necessarily like a tarifa, but that's because of the matter of diary. But the underlying assumption that there is kofer by regular, presumably the chachamim we're not going to argue with. So Rav Shimon ben Hadar answers no, because Tana Mirego Nizikin Mirego Maisiva. No, because you could say you don't need kofer by regal in order for this kavachomer to work. You just do like this, that leaving out the possibility of kofer by regal. You just say okay, we do use Rav Yosi HaGlili's shita about chatzi kofer when it comes to keren. All it is, remember, the Braisa didn't say anything about the behema stepping on something. The Braisa was talking about the animal going in and goring somebody. But it's a tam. So fine. Rav Taufen can just make his kavachomer in the same way. Regel is potter b'rishos harabim, but it's chayiv nezek shalom b'rishos hanizik. So keren, which will pay chatzi kofer b'rishos harabim, again, like Rabbi Yisrael says, then b'rishos hanizik will pay nezek shalom. You don't need kofer by regel in order for that kavachomer to work. So therefore, you can't prove that Rav Taufen, let alone the Chachamim, would disagree by Rego for it to work. First we assumed that Shane was saying that Rego, there's no Kofer in Rishos Rabim, but there's Kofer in Rishos Nizek, so Keren should be the same way, Chatzi Kofer in Rishos Rabim, Kofer Sholem in Rishos Nizek. Now we're saying you don't need that. You just forget about Kofer. There's just the basic fact that Rego is part of Rishos Rabim and Chayim Rishos Nizek, leaving out the matter of Kofer. So then you don't have a proof, one way or the other, what Rav Taufen would say, but kofer when it comes to regel, when it comes to an animal stepping on a child. However, then the Gemara says, if you're going to learn it that way, v'lifrich, then you could schlug up that kavachomer. Malin is zokin de regel, sheken yeshen and be'esh. Fine, but you could argue that the dinim of nizikim of regel also apply to esh, whereas kofer does not. As we just said before, kofer, everybody agrees that kofer does not apply to Aish. We mentioned in the first parak when we were talking about the chumras of shur over Aish and vice versa. So we mentioned shur you pay kofer, Aish you never do. So you could argue that nizikin of regel are stronger because the rules apply by Aish. Kofer, even whether you're going to apply it, if you're going to argue that kofer applies by regel, it doesn't apply by Aish.
So it's weaker, yeah.
The answer is mitamun. Fine, but you can prove to the contrary, because you have the case of tamun, You have a case of something that's hidden, where it'll be caught by Aish, as we learned before. If you light somebody's haystack on fire and inside it there are tools or what have you, you're potter for the tool. But regel yuchayim for tamun. There's no exception of tamun when it comes to regel. So you argue like this then. Regel is potter in Rosh Hashanah from anything, and Rosh Hashanah nizik is chayiv even on tamun. And you have nezek cholim, so keren is chatzi kofer in Rosh Hashanah. How much more so it should be kofer in Rosh Hashanah nizik? Full kofer in Rosh Hashanah nizik, which again is back to what Rav Tarfon is saying in this brayza. But again, it doesn't require us to say anything about kofer when it comes to regel. But you can ask malah tamun shekein yesh mebur. Fine, but you could argue tamun is not really a proof to the contrary because you have other cases where tamun also applies. Tamun is an exception only by Aish. When it comes to bur, there's no exception of tamun. How would be an example? One example would be that Rashi gives an example. Imagine, for example, you have an animal inside a sack and it falls into the bur. You're going to be chayav just as much as if it wasn't in the sack. Earlier in the Masechta, we had an argument between Rashi and Tosfos about, for example, about grain that falls into a burr and gets damaged, whether you're chayav for it or not. We know you're potter for kalim. We'll learn that later in the Masechta. But does the same thing apply to grain or not? We had Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos on that. If you say it applies to grain, then fine. You could add another example also. You have grain in a sack that falls in there. Whatever. Yeah. No, you're chayav. You're chayav because it's tamun, even though it's tamun. Because there's no exception of tamun when it comes to a burr.
So regardless, if it's an animal or if it's a
grain. No, so we said if it's kalim, then kalim is not. Kalim, you're potter by a burr. But if you argue.
And an animal.
An animal, you're chayav. So Rashi gives the example of an animal in a sack. But you're chayav, yeah. Yeah.
And grain.
So that depends on that machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos. What was it? Rashi had said over there that a bag full of tzvua falls into a burr, then you're also chayav. Tosfos disagrees with that and says that tzvua would be the equivalent of a kalim for that purpose. Anything non-living is under the tour of kalim. Whatever. The point is that there, at least we have the case of an animal in a sack, which everybody would agree you're chayav on that. So again, so tamun is not really a proof to the contrary, because you see tamun applies in other cases also. It applies to regular, it applies to burr. The only one it doesn't apply to is aish. Fine. Okay. You could answer me kalim. Fine. Instead, I'll prove it from kalim. You're tailing the potter if they fall into a burr, but you're chayav if an animal steps on kalim with its feet. Okay, but you could argue back that mal kalim shekein yesh and beish, but kalim you chayav for them on eish. So again, it's not unique to regel to say that you chayav on kalim. You chayav for kalim for everything except for burr because of exeris akosiv. Okay, let's combine them. Mikalim tmunim. Fine. But you have, what about if you have kalim that are concealed, you'll be in a sack or whatever, you'll be potter from them by burr because kalim, and by eish because it's tamun, but you'll be chayiv on them in regel. And therefore we can use that, kalim in a sack that fall into a burr or get burnt in a fire, you're going to be potter either way, one because it's kalim, one because it's tamun. And yet you chayiv for them when it comes to regel. So you can make the kavah chomer that way. Regel, you potter for them in Rosh Hashanah, but in Rosh Hashanah Nizik, even though they're kalim and even though they're in a sack, you're still chayev for the animal stepping on them. Well, then keren that you're chayev chatzi kofer again, according to Rabbi Yisrael, really in Rosh Hashanah Abim, shouldn't it be that you're how much more so that you should be chayev full kofer for them in Rosh Hashanah Nizik? And again, you don't need kofer by regel. So in order to prove all this, you don't. So far, if we stopped at this point, we would say you don't need kofer by regel in order to prove any of this. You can just prove about kofer when it comes to keren in Rosh Hashanah. That this that Rav Tarfon is saying, you need kofer shalom for a tam. You don't need kofer by regel in order to make the argument. However, the Gemara points out, you do have a thing with that. Mala kalim tmunim, sheyeshin ba'adam. However, you could argue, kalim tmunim are not really such a strong thing to prove by regel. Because after all, you can say, if Adam damages them, he's also chayav for them. So it's not unique to regel. So because of all of that, alma ika kofer b'regel. Based on all of that, then, we can't find any other way to make the Tarfon's argument work unless we bring back in kofer by regel. there. Well, that proves he holds that there is kosher by regel, which gives us back our original argument that regel, again, a person is not chayiv by kosher, as we learned earlier on the Yom. So regel, there's no kosher in Rishus Rabim, but there's kosher in full kosher in Rishus Nizek. So Keren, which is chatzi kosher in Rishus Rabim, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Levi, should be kosher shalom in Rishus Nizek. You need kosher by regel to make that work. And again, the Chachamim are going to disagree with the Tavachomer because of Dayag, but they're not going to disagree with the underlying principle that there's kosher by regel. Shnamina, that proves that there must be such a thing as kosher by regel. Actually, it's very logical to say that you must say that there is kofer by an animal stepping on somebody and killing them. The isakhadetach lecha kofer b'regel, because if you're going to say that there wasn't, the tanan minizok and the regel ma'isila, and you were going to argue, like we were trying to argue in the last few lines, that we're just trying to make the kavachomer based on the regular din of nizokin by regel, not the special din of kofer when it kills a person, Liferous, then you could slug it up very easily. Malin nizakin b'regel, shekein yeshin in b'regel. Because that's the whole point. Nizakin of regel do apply to regel, kofer does not. And then the whole kavachoma would fall apart. Elalav shmamin ama kofer d'regel. Because if you say that you're trying to learn from nizakin, and you're saying, based on the fact that regel, there's no nizakin b'rishos harabim, but there is b'rishos hayachid, the kofer which exists b'rishos harabim, by keren, should exist. In Rishos HaYachid, I would answer very simply. Kofer doesn't apply to regel at all. What are you trying to drag in kofer over here, which doesn't even exist by regel? So without that, the whole thing is not going to work. Elalav shmami nama kofer de regel ma'isula. That must be, then, that we are arguing based on kofer from regel. Alma itra kofer be regel. There you go. It shows that there's kofer be regel. Shmami nama, that proves it. Otherwise, your character couldn't have had his argument in the Braise. So that proves it. And that is, in fact, the halacha. There is such a thing as kofer by regel. Again, you have the machlokas, whether it's after the first time or even after, or after three times. But yeah. So now we've discussed most of the, at the end of the first parak, we learned about five more of them. And so far, we've gone through most of them. We went through Shein Beregel, we went through Keren, we went to Keren v'Shus HaNizek, Koinzer Tarifan. Now we come to the last one, Adam, we said over there. So Adam Mu'ad La'olam, a person is always Mu'ad, Ben Shogig Ben Mezid, whether he does the damage B'Shogig or Mezid, Ben Er Ben Yashin, whether he's awake or asleep.
How do we know that?
We'll learn in the Gemara. We'll learn in the Gemara how we know that. There is an Apisidus is an interesting thing, that Eber HaShab brings in Hem Shachayim Beis, that when a person moves their muscles, it's always based on some kind of rotzen, whether a conscious rotzen, a subconscious rotzen, etc. Therefore, even if a person is the shogig or sleeping or what have you, there's still some residual rotzen in there. And therefore, that's enough to make him chayim. If you're talking about somebody with a pathological condition, we're not talking about that. So
we're talking about a normal person. Muscle twitches without anything to do with rotzen. Anybody can have muscle twitch without anything willing.
Well, for one thing, it comes from the nervous system, and the nervous system is the seat of a person's rotten. There's different kinds of rotten. You have your autonomic nervous system, and your sympathetic and parasympathetic, and whatever. But they all
just from the muscle.
The muscle can't twitch by itself without a nerve giving out. There is, by the way, one thing that Meposhim point out based on the Rishami. There is a certain exception to this. Imagine, for example, a person goes to sleep, and then while they're asleep, somebody goes and lies down next to them or puts kalim or whatever next to them, and in their sleep they break them or injure that person, then you can't make them chayav. That's an oinus, because they didn't even know when they went to sleep that those things were there. We'll talk about it. Or Gemara, we'll talk about it.
Can't make the sleeping person?
You can't make the sleeping person higher, right?
And the other one,
will be higher, yeah. Simeas en chaver, therefore, while a person was asleep, let's say, he blinded somebody's eyes, or even if it was b'shogeg or whatever, v'shiver es ha-kelem, we broke kelem, m'shalom nezek shalom, either way, he's going to pay nezek shalom.
When he was asleep?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. If while he's asleep, he's flailing around and accidentally knocks out somebody's eye, and again, he knew before he went to sleep that this person was there, nezek shalom. That's what we're saying, yeah.
can he control himself when
he's sleeping? A person is expected to control themselves. That's a person has that.
Not when you're sleeping.
Person again.
How can you have dots when you're sleeping?
Yeah, but a person is responsible for themselves even when they're sleeping. Actually, there's a verse that I've brought about it once in a sikha along the lines of, if you go to sleep the way you're supposed to, then you'll wake up the way you're supposed to also. You know, so if a person goes to sleep like a behemoth, you know, then he's gonna.
No, I understand. If your wife is next to you and you're sleeping, you punch her, you do it. It's not your fault. I mean,
it may not be your fault, and we'll talk about cases in the Gemara where it's not your fault, but nevertheless, you're gonna be hired. So the end of the Mishnah is mentioning two cases. You put out somebody's eye or you broke Kalim. And it's equating the two. There's a similarity between them. Meaning, just like when it comes to Kalim, obviously you're only paying Nezek. The other four things, Tsar and Ripui and Shevet and Boshes, are not relevant when it comes to Kalim. The same thing when it comes to blinding somebody else's eye. B'shogeg, you're also only paying nezek and not any of the other things. Nevertheless, because it was done b'shogeg, you're only hired for nezek. Rashi points out that we're going to discuss the other way. How do we know it's b'shogeg? How do we know that if it was b'shogeg, you're potter for the other things? Rashi says, because what's the scenario where the Torah says that you're hired for ripui and sheves, for doctor's bills and time off work, and by extension the other ones also, is the Torah gives the scenario, two people are fighting, and one of them injures the other, implying that there was a mazid aspect over here, that there, or at least kotev of a mazid. Maybe he didn't mean specifically to put out the other guy's eye, but they were fighting, whatever. He knew that they were taking this chance over here, as opposed to b'shogeg, when it was completely, like in the middle of the sleep or whatever, you can't make him hire for those things. Where do we know this that we're saying, that you hire for nezek, even b'shogeg? So Chizkiyah said it as an Amora, and also it was taught in his yeshiva as a Braitha. Omakra, Petza Tachapasa, the Pasuk says that if a person with a wound in place of a wound, now obviously just like Ayin Tachazayin and the rest of them, it doesn't mean that you actually put out the guy's eye or wound him or what have you. As we'll learn later on in the 8th Perek, the Gemara will give us almost a dozen different Limudim to say that it means mudim. But the point is, After the Torah tells us ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, etc., the Torah does not also need to tell us petza tachas petza, a wound, or the value of a wound in place of a wound. Shein tachas shein includes that on the face. So you don't need to read it. It teaches us lachayver al shogeg kemezid v'al ha'onis karatin. It comes to teach us that you chayver for shogeg just as much as for mezid, and that you chayver for onis just as much as karatin. By the way, I mean, shogeg and onus are two different things. Shogeg are, for example, you didn't realize the person was there. Onus is, shogeg could be, for example, that you were swinging your fist, you didn't mean to hit it so hard as to break his nose or whatever. Onus would be that you didn't realize he was there or whatever, but you're still responsible for the way you're swinging your fist. Rotten and mazid are basically the same thing, but the antonym of shogeg is mazid, and the antonym of onus is rotten. Okay, Gemara says, "Hayim yibar lilith and tzai v'machem nezek." I've been using the pasuk to teach us that you're chayev even if it's shogeg. We need that word petza tachas petza for a different limud to teach us that even where there's nezek, it's not mufner used by zeh shava. But the point is, you can't learn two limudim from the same words. It's similar, okay. We learn from that, as we will learn in the 8th parak, that even where you're paying nezek, you also pay the tzar. Let's say, the Gemara gives an example over there. Let's say, for example, one person chopped off another one's hand. For sure, you're amazed again, it doesn't matter. Now, he's paying nezek for the fact the guy is worth less of a slave without a hand. Now, you would argue, by paying nezek for that, you could argue, well, effectively, I bought your hand. It's as if now I bought your hand and I have the ability to remove it however I want. Why should I pay you extra for the tire that was involved? We say that no, because you bought it maybe in the sense that you could have, let's say, put me under anesthesia and amputated it. The fact that you did it in a way where it actually hurt me, you owe me something extra for that. So we learn that. From that, we don't have it available to teach us this business about shogeg and mazid, etc.
That's
an wound.
The answer is, okay, Mr. Rahmana Petza Bipata. If that's all the Pasuk meant to teach us, it would say a wound in a wound, meaning sword. My Tachas Patza. Shmamina Tauti, from that we can learn both. One, the concept of Tzar, and two, the concept that all these things, that they're not all these things, that the actual Nezek applies even if he didn't show you. So now the Gemara is going to bring a number of dinim that come from this yisod. This that we're saying in the Mishnah that you're chayiv on shogig and on onus. We're going to have a number of dinim that result from that. Omer Rava, hoisa evan munachas lo b'chetoi. If a person had a stone in his lap, the lo hikuba, he never knew about it. So let's say somebody dropped it in his lap while he was sleeping. But Ahmad, then he stood up, the nakla, and it fell down and caused something to happen. So, the Indian Nezakim Chayev, when it comes to Nezek, he's going to be Chayev because it may have been an onus, but okay, it's Chayev for onus as well. He should have, yeah, Mephoshim pointed out, for one thing, I mean, a stone that's going to cause damage like that, you have to, when you woke up, fine, you may not have known they put it in your lap when you fell asleep. But when you wake up, you ought to be able to feel it. Yeah, you ought to be able to feel it with a stone there, yeah. So for any nizakim chayiv, any abad varim potter. On the other hand, when it comes to tzar and the rest of them, you're going to be potter because, as we said, you only chayiv for those if it was mazid or at least korid lamazid. It doesn't have to be full-fledged mazid. Even korid lamazid, we're like, you acted carelessly, you acted recklessly, basically. The Gemara is going to give us some examples of that later on. Let's say, yeah. Linian Shabbos. Now let's continue further. What happens if it causes a violation of Shabbos? So either, for example, you were in Rosh Hashanah and the stone rolled out into Rosh Hashanah, or you could have an example: the stone fell and killed an animal or what have you.
With his
No, it killed an animal. It doesn't matter where it is. It's a malacha of Shabbos. Whatever the point is, that it caught. That's what I'm saying. There's two possibilities. Could be Hotzah. Could be Hatzah, where it rolled out into Rosh Hashanah. Whatever, that's what I mean. He was sitting in Rosh Hashanah, he was lying down, he was sleeping in Rosh Hashanah, in Rosh Hashanah, I mean. He woke up and it rolled out, and it rolled out into Rosh Hashanah is one or another. If it rolled within Rosh Hashanah, there's no malacha over there.
No, there's no malacha.
Yes, but on the other hand, if it fell and killed it and killed them and killed an animal and killed a mouse or a cat or whatever and have you, then that's a different malacha. Then it doesn't matter what Rosh Hashanah was in. Whatever, the point is, then you caught it because malachas nachshev is off. Well, when he stands up on the face of it, he's doing an akira. He's making
it grows.
Yeah, so it rolls, it lands in Rosh Hashanah. That would be an akira. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about he wakes up in Rosh Hashanah and it rolls out from his lap and then starts rolling and rolls out in Rosh Hashanah and stops.
That's enough.
There's an akira and there's an akira. If he did, with Kabbalah, sure he'd be fired.
But he didn't lift the stone at all.
Doesn't matter. I don't think that makes a difference. As long as he's through it, Mitzvah Sabra will say Sabra. Okay, you don't want to say rolled, fine. You want to say that it flew, whatever. Okay. Anyway, the point is, you'd be potter because malachas nachshav is also Torah. The Torah only after a malacha that you did with kavana. So it has to be you meant to do the malacha, so the shogeg can consist of you didn't know about Shabbos at all, or you didn't know today was Shabbos, or you thought that this malacha is mutter. You thought, let's say, there's a valid Eruv and there isn't, so you're carrying, let's say. In this case, you had no intention of doing a malacha at all. Therefore, you'd be potter. From Kores or Skiller or Fathos or what have you, yeah. No. We're talking relative to Shabbos, there's no fear. In Golos, what happens if the stone falls out of your lap and kills somebody? Potter, then you're potter because it has to be that there was a shogeg. A shogeg implies when it comes to the dinim of Golos, when it comes to the dinim of Golos specifically, Tosis points out, the Torah implies that shogeg consists of that you knew what was going on and then later on you forgot it. So, for example, we'll have the next case, for example, where you knew the stone was there, but then you forgot about it and stood up. Here, where you never even knew the stone was there in the first place, that can't be called the kind of shergig that would make a person hired to go to the Ohrim Mikvah. In a way, it would be sort of like an oymus. Really, when it comes to the Ohrim Mikvah, there's three different kinds of shergig. When we learn Makkos in a year and a half or so, Rav Hashem, we'll get into it in detail. But there's a shergig, which is almost an oymus. You have a shergig, which is a shergig, the time that you go to Ohrim Mikvah for, and then you have a shergig kor of lemezid, when you're being reckless. The first one, you don't need to go to Ohrim Mikvah. The last one, you also don't, because the kapara of the Ohrim Mikvah is not enough for you, because you're being reckless. Only the middle one, you go to Ohrim Mikvah. Okay, so now, the Indian Eved, what about if this rock that falls out of this person's lap ends up injuring an Eved, putting out his eye or his tooth?
They're in Gullus.
We said it's where it's going to Gullus, the Ohrim Mikvah. If it kills a person. We said potter because that's not considered shagaga. The Indian Eved, when it comes to an Eved, where the Torah tells us, as we learned in Kedushin, that if you knock out your Eved's eye or tooth or any one of 24 Rosh Evodim, then he goes free. That would be close to the Rav Shimon Gamliel of the Rabbanon. That would be subject to a chokis between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon about whether you chayef for such a thing. The Tanya, as we learned in Braisa, which we learned in Kedushin, Hareshon Hoya Rabbi Roife, suppose that this Eved's master is a doctor, Va'amalein, he tells him, chil eni, put powder, eyeshadow, whatever, in my eye as an eye remedy, v'shima, and by accident, as he's doing that, he blinded the eye, or chasur lishini, he tells him, scrape around my tooth to get rid of the plaque, whatever, v'hipila, and in the course of doing that, he accidentally knocked out the tooth, shichik v'adim yatza v'cheres. The Tanakhama says, the Eved can laugh at his master and go free. In other words, you thought you're doing me good by healing my eye or my tooth, but because you ended up doing by accident, you ended up knocking it out, therefore I get to go free.
Is that only for Neved?
For Neved, that's the Torah tells us, straight
Ryan,
yeah. For a regular person, you'd have to pay, but that's what we're saying. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shicha Sal Ad Sheis Gav Meshachta, where Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, since the Pasuk says, and you destroy it, the eye or the tooth, therefore that teaches us the only chayiv if you meant to destroy it. So therefore, like this, where the master meant to heal the eye or to scrape around the tooth, then without meaning to knock it out, then he would be puzzled. So therefore, again, in this case over here of the rock, according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't matter. You accidentally dropped the rock. You may not even have ever known of it. Doesn't matter. You still have to set him free. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you wouldn't.
What's the halacha in terms of the work?
What about it?
If you damage someone by doing a medical procedure.
Adam Mord La'olam Ben Eir Ben Yoshin. Ben Shogig Mamezid. Yeah, malpractice. Yeah. Next. Let's try another case. Hikub of a shachta. What happens? Let's try a different scenario. The person did know the rock was in his lap. Then he forgot about it. V'amad v'nafla, and then he stood up and it fell down. Then things are a little different. Leinian nezek and chayev. Again, when it comes to nezek, he's going to be chayev. Just nezek. Leinian dalad v'orim potter as far as tzar and ripui and so forth. But we potter because again, that's not kodesh amazing. Leinian golos, unlike the previous case, chayev. When it comes to going to the Ohrim Mikvah, in this case, he will be chayev. Because the pasuk says if a person killed somebody else, b'shogeg, implying that father had a idea, implying that it was a case where he knew that there was a dangerous situation in the first place. Idea. In this case, he did know the rock was there, then he forgot about it. That's classic shogeg. The Indian Shabbos, he's still potter, because again, you need malachas machshavas, and this isn't malachas machshavas. The Indian Eved, again, it'll be talked to the Shemin Gamliel Rabbanan, same machloikas. How about another example? The Skadim Lizuk Shayim Bazarak Arba. What if the person took this rock, he meant to throw it only two amos, in Rosh Hashanah Abim, let's say, and by mistake, he overshot his mark and ended up throwing it four amos. So then in the Zakin Chayim, then in Dalad Roim Potter, again, as far as the Nezek will be Chayim, because Ben Meshayim will be amazing. When it comes to the other things, will be Potter, because again, he can't consider that part of Lameda. Even in Riyadh. Or in Rosh Hashanah, but in Riyadh, well. Yeah, so, but on the other hand, he'll be potter for the other things, because it's still not kodesh l'mezid. He only intended to throw it two amos, and if he had only thrown it two amos, it wouldn't have hit the other guy.
Why not?
Because the other guy was standing four amos away. So it's not kodesh l'mezid, and it's not kodesh l'mezid. Le'inyan Dalad voted potter, yeah. Le'inyan Shabbos, he's still potter, because well, that's not Shabbos beginning, because again, even though he ended up throwing it four amos, he did not intend to throw it four amos, he only intended to throw it two. Le'inyan Golos, when it comes to Golos, then the Golos, what will happen? The Torah says, Asher le'tzada amar Rahmana. The Pasuk says that he didn't intend to tzada. Two possibilities of what tzada means. One means like to trap the other guy, and the other one means like to throw it in his direction. So Rashi gives two explanations. Let's learn the words of the Gemara first, then we'll talk about the two explanations of Rashi. What happens over here is the puzzle says Asher le'tzada. Chakram, a scabbard was a chayim, was out of Dalad, which comes to exclude this exact case of intending to throw it to Amos and instead overshooting it and throwing forward. So what happens? Rashi gives two explanations. One is that in that case, he's potter from Misa, but it'll be chayim golos, so he'll be chayim to go to the Arim Islam. The other
explanation is considered a real
shogeg. The other explanation is that no, Rashi says it means Asher le'tzada, we can say that he didn't mean it to throw it to the direction where it would hit this person. And like this, he didn't. He only went to throw it to Ramos. Therefore, according to the second lashon, what the Gemara means to say is he'd be potter even from Golos.
Because he didn't want to. Because
he didn't mean to throw it. He didn't mean to.
He went by the way.
Whatever it is, yeah. The Indian Eved, took the Dibshim, and the and again, when it comes to an Eved, you'd have the same machlokes as before. Another sense. The scabbard is a tag of a Zarach Shmona. How about if he meant to throw it four amos and instead he threw it eight? So Suamas is Suamas already. There you have a thing of Shabbos. Therefore, Le'inyan Zok and Chayiv, Le'inyan Dalad Varim Potter, Le'inyan Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, it actually depends. What did he intend when he threw it? If he says when he throws the rock, I don't care where it falls, then he'd be hired. Because as long as it traversed four amos, doesn't matter then whether it was four or five or six or what have you, as long as it traversed four amos, his machshava was accomplished, therefore he'd be hired. When it comes to Shabbos, he'll be chayav, so it depends. I mean, if there was Eidim Bahasro, he'd be amazed. Whatever, the point is that he'd be chayav for whatever you chayav in the specific scenario in Shabbos. As opposed to, Rashi said, when it came to the two and he ended up throwing four, then we said, even though the fact is it went four, the fact is he didn't have any intention of anything that would constitute a malacha. Two amos doesn't constitute a malacha. Here, what he had in mind, at least four amos, which constitutes a malacha, then regardless where it falls, he's chayim. Eloi, but if not, if he says, I specifically want it to fall four amos away, and instead it fell eight amos away, he'd be potter because, again, his machshava was not accomplished.
Four amos.
There is machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid the other way around. What if he said, I intend to throw it eight amos, and instead he threw it four? Would we say the same kind of thing?
Yeah. But
on the other hand, maybe not. So you could argue. You could argue that maybe even if he said, the fact is he intended to throw it eight amos, and therefore that kavana was not accomplished. It only went four.
Kavana was accomplished. The fact was not accomplished.
The malacha that he intended to do, to throw it eight amos, was not accomplished.
But we said previously you needed a kavana.
Right, that's the point. Malachas machshavas also a Torah, right? So and then you could argue there was a machshava to do a malacha because he meant to throw it eight amos, which is more than four, and it did land four amos away. On the other hand, everything that he wanted to accomplish did not get accomplished, so maybe not. Anyway, continuing with the scenario where he wanted to throw it four and he ended up throwing it eight. In Golos, again, when it comes to Golos, Asher le'tzada prap and eskaven agav is arach shmona, which again will depend on the two Lashonis and Rashi, that it means chayev Golos or potter from Golos. In Eved, again, would be plugged to the Shemin on the Ohr Avon, and the same machlokas that applied in all the other cases of the Eved would apply here also. Now, for Omer Rabba, so now Rabba says, here's another game. If somebody throws a keli from the top of a roof, and Rashi says we're talking about the owner of the keli himself,
threw it off the roof.
Oba asked of a shovel of a makel, and while it's on its way down, somebody broke it with a stick. We learned this actually before.
Yeah.
Potter. Then the person who broke it with a stick is potter. My time. A monotvira tava, because all he broke is something that was destined to break anyway. So therefore, he's potter on it. But Omer Rabba, now Rabba says another related din. Zorak kli merosh agag, what if he threw the keli from the top of the roof, v'hoyu tashta kodobo ksosis, and let's say though on the ground underneath it with pillows and blankets, ba acher the silk, which would have cushioned the fall, so it wouldn't have broken, ba acher the silk on, if somebody else before the thing landed took away those pillows and blankets, and therefore the thing fell and broke, potter. My tama, who's potter, we'll talk about in a second. One second. My tama, the ibna, the shadiyat, sukha mifsika gire. Because when he threw it, his arrows were stopped in the sense that at the moment when he threw it, the pillows and blankets were there. It was not destined to break. Okay, so who are we talking about? Who's potter? So Rashi
explains both of them are potter. The one who threw it is potter because when he threw it, it wasn't going to end up breaking. The one who took away the pillows and blankets is potter because it's only grama. It's only an indirect cause. He didn't directly cause that. But he didn't directly cause it because the original guy who threw it off the roof is the primary cause of the hazard. He's the one who threw it off. So Rashi understands it's grama benizik and therefore he's potter. Now, Tosfos. When you do something, an indirect cause of a nezek. In this case, the direct cause was it being thrown off the roof.
No, the direct cause was with through the cushions.
But withdrawing the cushions does not directly impinge on the thing that's falling. It's an indirect thing that you're doing, which leads to a result. You're moving item A, which causes item B to break. But you're not directly doing anything to item B.
But before you move it. 100% chance that it would not break.
Yeah.
I would say if there was a 50% chance.
Okay. So let me explain then. So Tosfos brings that actually this may not be so simple. The Gemara discusses in a few places. We're going to have a discussion about it much later in the Masechta about the concept of Rameir holds of the concept of dina degarmi, that you are a higher person for indirect damage. Now. What does it mean? So he was talking about grama. So one way of looking at it is Tosfos brings. The Rif says the halacha is actually not like a statement of Rabba. This statement would be if we say that you're not a chayav person for diamond. Since the halacha is that you do, indirect. Since the halacha is that you do, then you would be chayav in this case. That's how the Rif asks him. So there is, we mentioned the other day, there is a considerable The halacha is yichayev for dinah d'garmi. However, there is considerable discussion in Rishonim where the groma and garmi are the same thing. Well, I mentioned that the other day. Groma may be more indirect than garmi more direct. So the risk would hold that in this case it's a case of garmi. So if we say you're potter for garmi, garmi is more direct. If you say you're potter even for garmi, then you'd be potter in this case. Since the halacha is not like that, the halacha is yichayev for garmi, the risk would say yichayev in this case. On the other hand,
we drew the cushions.
We don't want to withdraw the cushions, yeah. On the other hand, if you say that Groma and Gami are the same thing, which the Rii argues in Tosfos, then you would be potter regardless. But Amram has yet a different understanding of it, which is that Amram says, what we mean in the Gemara here is like this. Again, he's basically following the risk, but he understands the Gemara a little bit differently. If the keli belonged to Reuven, Shimon throws it off the roof, and Levi... I forgot to mention, the Gemara itself said, or even if the person who threw it off the roof himself then immediately pulled away the cushions. Nevertheless, still two different actions. Either way, it's part of my time. Because either way, the point is two different actions. One is throwing it off the roof, the other one is removing the cushions. Now, so the Rambam understands it like this. If the keli belonged to somebody else, and one person threw it off the roof, and the other person removed the cushion, actually both of them are going to be chayav, because both of them contributed to the breaking of the keli. What we're saying over here, what the Rambam would understand, that the case over here is if the owner of the keli himself threw them off the roof, and somebody else removed the cushion, that other person would be potter. Because then, the primary cause of the situation in the first place was the owner himself throwing it off the roof.
Wait a minute. If you have the guy who throws from the roof, right, tells the guy to remove the cushion.
Doesn't matter. It's still two different actions. Still two different actions. Again, you can't be machayev a person for what somebody else told him to do. You can't be machayev one person for what he told somebody else to do.